Was that too cheesy? I made you laugh on the intro. No! All right. That's not when I want you to laugh.
You could do this. I love you so much.
Welcome to Sticky Pickles. Ever found yourself stuck in a pickle? Knee deep in a dilemma? Question is, what do you do now? I'm Maria.
And I'm Carol. And this is season 4, episode 8 of Sticky Pickles. Swing and a Misses. And Dalbergia and Copper.
Dalbergia. I don't even know what that is.
I know. It's all going to become clear. I didn't know what it was till 20 minutes ago.
Nobody Google it. Don't Google it.
Nobody Google it.
Yeah, okay.
Maria, you're kicking us off today. It's just the two of us. Just the two of us. Tell me about Swing and a Misses.
Swing and a Misses. So this is a wedding story.
I love wedding stories.
Me too. They're such a great source of drama.
You know, I miss going to weddings. I haven't been to a wedding in so flipping long.
I went to one last year. I was so happy to be at one. It was all outdoors and it was on like a beautiful day. It was, yeah, but I almost never go to weddings anymore because I think that was the last couple I know that's getting married. No. I know one more that's getting married. But yeah, they're great.
Yeah.
They're great.
Yeah.
Older I get, the more I like them.
Right? Get a hat?
Oh, no, we don't do that in the States. I wish we could wear hats. We don't do the hat thing.
Of course you can. You could just fucking wear one.
I know, but I would be literally the only one wearing a hat.
I once went to a wedding in England and I was the only one not wearing a hat. So I was more, yeah, so hilarious. So funny. It was like in the middle of Oxfordshire.
I wouldn't even know where to get a hat. That's the thing. Oh, okay, it's a whole thing. I'd have to go to England to get a wedding hat.
Anyway, we digress.
I actually wore a hat at my own wedding, though. That's a different thing.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. I wore one at my own wedding. Anyway, so on this episode, all about hats. All right, so we're at a wedding. Mm. And the happy bride and groom are Amy and Mike.
Amy and Mike.
And they're in their early 30s. So we're literally at their wedding right now. And Mike is an accountant and Amy is a doctor.
Wow.
I'm talking about like a medical doctor. So she has spent over a decade in school, residency, the whole shebang. It's a complete, it's a whole gauntlet that they put medical doctors through. Mike and Amy's families are very different. So Mike comes from, I guess, a very stereotypically like white collar family where like everybody goes to college. It's sort of just a given.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a big deal. And Amy is not only the first person in her family to be a doctor, she's the first person in her family to be a college graduate. So she is like the first. And it, you know, even for families where everybody goes to college, it's still a big thing. But when you're literally the first, and not just the first to go to college, but first also to be a doctor, like Amy swang big, right. And she made a home run. Like she did it. Like that's not easy. And with you know, a family that didn't know how to support her and they just were like, go you, but we have absolutely no idea what this entails. That's massive. So understandably, everybody feels very invested in Amy's success in Amy's family. It's like, it's not just her. Her whole family's like, listen, we did this.
She comes over like, oh, Amy, the doctor is here.
Oh,
come
yes.
This way, Amy.
Does this mole look cancerous, Amy? Tell me. And bless them, especially with people who are just getting married or just got married in their case, both Amy and Mike are really keen to start out their married life on the right foot, not make any faux pas in front of their new extended families, and to make sure that both sides of the family love and adore each other and everybody gets along swimmingly. And, you know, at a wedding, usually everything's fantastic. So, so far, so good.
Mm-hmm.
Amy, to Mike's family's delight, is actually kind of a traditional gal. You know, for someone who's the first to go to college, the first to be a doctor, you would think she'd be like Mrs. Trailblazer and doing all sorts of like being very modern in a lot of ways. But actually, she's kind of the opposite in some regards. She was very happy to take Mike's last name,
mm-hmm.
which to Mike's delight and surprise and to Amy's friend's surprise. But she's like, yeah, I want to be a Greenberg. That's Mike's last name.
Of course it is.
Why?
No, it's just, I don't know. It's a rich person's name.
Green money. Yeah. So Amy's like, I'll be Amy Greenberg. It's no problem. So when Amy and Mike were talking to their bridal party because they have, you know, tons of bride. What are they called? I didn't have a bridal party, so I forget what they're called. Bridesmaids and
maid of honor. Maid of honor and best man.
Best. What are they all? Best men. What do you? What are they called? Groomsmen.
Usher. No, no, not the ushers.
Yeah, manservants. You know what the.
I didn't have any of that. I had no bridesmaids, none of that crap.
I skipped over all that. No wonder we get along.
Aw.
So Amy and Mike said to the whole, I guess we'll just call them the bridal party, introduce us as Mr. and Dr. Greenberg. Like, that's how we want to be known. Those are our titles. Please use that. Because, you know, Amy's really proud of being a doctor.
Oh.
Yeah. So not Mr. and Mrs., Mr. and Doctor. Yep.
Right.
So... And not only that, but like on all the wedding swag, you know, like the stuff on the tables, and all that, it all says Mr. and Doctor. So right. just to make sure
it's
that
like their theme. It's like their theme for their wedding.
It is. Yeah. It is. It is. So, you know, when Amy and Mike walk into the reception hall and everyone's got their cowbells or whatever people do. Again, I didn't do this either, so I don't know. where everybody's just hooting and hollering like, wah! Losing their minds. Please welcome, for the very first time, Mr. and Dr. Greenberg!
And the crowd goes wild!
I imagine it's like a professional wrestling thing where like somebody suplexes the bride and groom. Or, I don't know.
and she, with her big white meringue, daintily floats to the front. Yeah.
Yes, I'm Dr. Greenberg, and it feels magical! So they have their triumphant entrance. Everybody goes wild, and applause, and woo, and sparklers. And it's happy wedding vibes and all that good stuff. Lovey-dovey-dovey-dovey. And of course, the champagne is flowing. Everybody's getting super tipsy-tipsy.
Having a blast. Yeah.
Actually, yeah, they're blasted at this point. They're not even tipsy. They're just fucking drunk. That's how you know it's a great wedding, is like when people start falling over.
Yes! It's when you find your mother-in-law on the floor in the bathroom. Right? She's like, everything's so great.
Oh, I love you. I've loved you ever since you were a kid. So the bridal party says they're, you know, gets up to the microphone and does the whole, like, obligatory weepy crying, I'm so happy for you speeches, la-di-da-di-da. Father of the bride says stuff. Father of the groom says stuff. Everybody who is scheduled to say stuff says stuff, and it's very nice and very heartwarming. And everybody gets progressively more and more drunk as the speeches go on, because you kind of have to, right?
And another thing!
but it's all funny drunk, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, everybody who's scheduled to speak is done, and the music's playing, and, you know, the microphone stand is just sitting there, and nobody's touching it, because, you know, everybody's done speaking. More drinks are happening, and eventually, one of the aunties decides it is a great time, now that she's about 5 cocktails in, to get up and say a speech. But how much she loves my baby Mike.
Mike's my favorite nephew ever.
He's my favorite, and we've loved Amy ever since I met her 10 minutes before the wedding, and she's a great girl, and you'll make each other very happy. Here's to Mr. and Mrs. Greenberg.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. And Amy, as everyone's saying cheers, stands up and goes, Mr. and Dr. Greenberg.
Oh, for God's sake, Amy. For God's sake. Okay, so she gets all pissy.
Well, she's not mad. She's just like, you know. Just
setting the record straight.
Just setting, like, the record. Just a correction.
Yeah. Don't define me by my genitals. Define me by my profession. I get it.
Please define me by my degree. Yes. that I did work extremely hard to get.
Yeah.
The auntie is drunk and somehow manages to have the good grace to pretend not to hear it. But, like, everybody hears it. And for a couple that was trying real hard not to do any faux pas, unfortunately, this is interpreted very widely by at least Mike's family as a major faux pas.
Oh.
They all had the same reaction that you did of, like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, calm down, Maria. Calm down, Amy.
I am not a doctor. I don't have a fancy title.
Calm down, Amy.
Calm down, Maria. Like, well, okay, I'll just fuck off. I mean, you know. After the wedding is done, you know, the thank you cards have all been sent, and they're all, of course, being sent by Mr. and Dr. Greenberg. Mm-hmm. You know, the starts in the family. People are going, mm-hmm. Amy's a real bitch. Why does she have to shout that out at the wedding? Like, that was so inappropriate.
Aunt Maureen was just a bit tanked.
Yeah, like,
who gives, all knew that.
Who gives a fuck?
Mm-hmm.
You know, some time passes. Amy is aware, but she's like, I'm just going to let it slide. Water off my duck's back, whatever. Let it roll. It doesn't matter. But then, like, the holiday, New Year, Christmas cards start coming in, and they're all addressed to Mr. and Mrs. Greenberg from Mike's family. And she's like, I can't help but feel like this is a sort of a passive-aggressive, this is being done on purpose, a sort of a fuck you for calling it out at your wedding thing.
Mm-hmm.
Kroll, I ask you, what should she do?
I'm so torn.
Okay.
Because, so, I did not take my husband's last name.
Mm-hmm.
Members of his family insist on sending the kind of Christmas birthday card, whatever,
mm-hmm.
with my first name and his last name. All yes. the time.
Yep.
And I always notice, and I just go for FFS.
For fuck's sake. For the sake of fuck.
Exactly.
For the sake of fuck. Yes.
TM Muria, you got your first.
Yes, I have my first name. Yes.
Yeah. So, but I would never bring it up and don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I just think being precious about stuff like that, like, what are you going to do? Tell them? Like, have a big fucking serious heart-to-heart? Like, are they important enough to you to care? They're not in your business circle. They have nothing to do with your profession.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, I would say if it was the other way around, right, say he was the doctor and she wasn't, and they said, Mr. and Mrs. Greenberg.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Would a fuss be made there as well? Or would they just say, calm down, dude?
I come at this from two angles. My dad had a PhD.
Right.
And he hated when people called him Dr. Vermazis. He absolutely hated it. I mean, it was correct. Like, that is the title he could have used. But he absolutely hated it. He thought it was super pretentious and just refused to be referred to as that way. So, like, that was sort of what I grew up with. And I also, my dad's colleagues were very similar. The men were, anyway. Mm. The women were often like, listen, I was like the only woman in my physics or chemistry program. I worked really hard for this. And, you know, I was also the first. And I want people to acknowledge that I'm a professional. Like, it was different for them.
But I would say at the wedding, it was very, I mean, only one drunk aunt kind of did a faux pas. Was who cares? If that didn't happen, it wouldn't be a good wedding.
Yeah. Somebody's got to fuck up at a wedding.
Yeah, it's like 99% success of Doctor and Mister, right?
Yeah, yeah,
that's a win in my book. But the cards, again, who cares? Like, it's just cards.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't need to be a confrontation, but it's sort of one of those, like, it's sort of low key annoying. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're loaded. They're loaded, right? Because they're an accountant and a doctor. So she needs to hire a PR firm to just get the message across to the family that it's definitely doctor in all instances. And bish, bash, bosh, done. Take 6 months.
I mean, because I've been through something similar like what you described about the naming thing. And it's like, once, I mean, and I did take my husband's name legally, so it doesn't bother me if I'm called Mrs., his last name. Mm-hmm. But I don't like using Mrs. I hate the Mrs. thing. I'd rather be Ms. But I'm like, I don't care.
I like lady.
How very aristocratic of you. I always knew you were fancy, Kroll.
Wait to hear my story.
Oh, well, Dalbergia, yeah. It only gets worse from here. Okay, Kroll. Dalbergia and copper. I'm confused and intrigued and slightly aroused. What is this about?
Well, meet Denzel and Todd.
Denzel Washington?
They're your and mine, because we're a couple in this, I've decided.
You and me? Okay, cool.
They're our flamboyantly wonderful friends. And they have invited you and I, Maria, over to their brand new fancy schmancy vacation property for a weekend visit.
And what's, so Denzel and Tom?
Todd.
Todd, yeah. Okay, sorry.
Yeah. So this is not like a drive down to the Berkshires or whatever, right? This is a plane ride over to the Adriatic coast where they have okay. a ginormous vacation house on top of a hill overlooking the teal blue sea. Like Swankville.
I'm jealous. Ugh.
Right. Well, we're going, honey. We are going there now. So
Sticky Pickles Live in the somewhere on the Croatian coast, right?
So we arrive. We're a little jet lagged, a little sweaty. But we forget about all that when we see this house, because it is like just jaw dropping. Fuck off. You live here and this is your vacation home, your vacay home.
Ugh.
And Denzel laughs. He's your buddy, right? He's so self-effacing. And he's like, I'll give you a tour. We get to see 1,000 square foot trance room. Mm-hmm. And that's because they love to dance to trance, right?
They love to dance to trance. Okay.
And they show you their massive kitchen with double like Belfast sinks and double ovens and double dishwashers, because why waste your time unstacking the dishwasher unless you're putting the things on the plane, you know, on the table?
Double Belfast sink. I'm sorry, I'm googling that. Oh, that's very fancy. I didn't even know what that was. Okay.
It's an English thing. And they finish their tour of their fabulous house with their ginormous master bedroom. And the bed, you say, is like, that's insane.
It must fit at least a dozen people
exactly.
on it.
Exactly. It's a California king or something, right?
Oh, yeah. Those things are fuck off huge. Yep. I know what that
the
is.
The bed frame, right, Crows Denzel, is handmade with inlaid copper. And one of the most expensive woods in the world called.
Is it Dalbergia?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. Good thing I didn't Google what that is. Okay.
And, you know, now Denzel's speaking. His eyes are wide and full of enthusiasm. He says, what makes it so expensive, Dalbergia, is that it's so complicated to work with because its sawdust can be poisonous to people, upping the price significantly. Ooh.
What?
And you and I look at each other going, okay, Denzel. Okay, but Denzel is like this. We've known him forever.
I'm Googling Dalbergia now. Okay, yeah. Wow. Okay. Okay.
So over a simple dinner that Denzel's pulled together of turbot and a champagne sauce and truffles. Mm.
Like real truffles, not just truffle flavor, but...
Yes, yeah, like shaved on,
oh,
but,
yeah.
You know, generously.
Jake found that in the woods, yes.
Right. We are being very good guests because this is swank. We've seen our room. We're happy. We're in, right? So we are waxing lyrical about
their
house.
Is there a hot
house.
Tub? Please tell me there's a hot tub. With
yes,
you.
Of course there's a hot
Fuck.
Tub.
Okay, yeah, all right.
And
yeah.
a plunge pool, right? Because it gets hot and then it gets cold.
With like
in the
infinity
winter.
Like, thing where you just swim to the edge and...
No, oh. it's like a deep, deep pool. Like it's like maybe like 2 meters wide, but like maybe 3 meters deep.
Oh, yeah.
Because you swim, of course, in the sea, right? You just walk down the cliff and go swim on your private beach that you own.
Fuck. All right.
And Todd says, actually, you know, so you're sitting there talking about how great everything is. And then, of
so
course,
what's the problem?
You bring up the incredible bed again, right? You know, like that bed. And Todd goes, oh, actually, there's a funny story about that bed frame. It happened this week.
Someone died in it. No.
Oh. He goes, no. He goes, so the cleaner came over and she, silly woman, cleaned the bed, dusted the bed with a cloth that was covered in bleach and totally discolored the copper inlay.
Oh.
And it all turned like this yellowish green. So, you know, what was I going to do? Because this bed cost like price upon application price. So I called up the company and I said, look, I know I bought this bed a year ago, but somehow it got all discolored and it's, you know, it's subpar and I would like a new one. And they were shocked and they said, oh my God, we'll replace it immediately. We've never heard of this happening. So 2 days later, this new bed arrives. Right?
2 days. Okay.
Right. Like, and they live in the middle of nowhere. This is in the middle of nowhere in the Adriatic Sea. So it's like been flown over by people. Like it's all been like hurried over. And they brought with them some workmen to get the frame into the house. Cause you got to take even the frickin' door frames off to get it in. And they put all the whole new frame together. They dismantled the old bed. They put it back in their truck. And the whole thing took a few hours. And now they have this brand new, beautiful bed frame. Well, I'm thinking, in my life, if I want to get a new bed frame, it takes me 6 weeks to get a new bed frame delivered.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's not like 10, 20 grand plus. But
yeah, I'm just like rich people problems. I think that's about the extent of my right. thinking. Like, okay, you got money, I don't have. That's,
yeah,
I have in real life. I have friends like this who are just like mm-hmm. loaded beyond my wildest. And they spend oodles of money on things where I'm like, that's a humongous fucking waste of money. But hey, you're loaded, so you can waste money on that. But okay, you do it. I mean, I don't count other people's
yeah,
money.
Yeah, you all do right. you. You do you.
It ain't my money. I don't care.
Okay.
Yeah.
He says, that's not the end of the story, says Todd. Mm. A few days ago, we get another delivery. And another copper in Delbergia, California King bed frame arrives.
Is this made by like a dude down the street? Like, how are they getting this shit so fast?
I have no idea, okay? Because they're loaded. Private planes. Who knows? And we're like, well, what are you going to do with that bed? Like, he's like, no, I didn't order it. I think they screwed up at the company. So we just told the delivery guys to pop it around the back of the house, and I'm planning to hawk it on eBay.
Okay.
So the sitch is, they got a replacement, but they also got a second replacement.
Yeah.
My view is, like, call the company and tell them, right? Like, say, oh, hey, you delivered two, you know?
Yeah, get your money back, right? Wouldn't that be...
Well, they didn't pay. They didn't pay for the second bed, like the second bed frame. It arrived just for free. They didn't order it. It's just like a delivery fuck up.
Well, still, especially then you should return it because that shit's expensive. Like, I'm sure these, yeah.
Is it stealing from the company even though it was delivered to them without them wanting it? Sticky.
I feel like it is. It feels dishonest to not be like, hey, this is a thing. At the same time, I'm like, how does a company accidentally send a $15,000 bed frame without knowing that that has left its inventory unless they have a lot of money and don't care? Or I don't
know. Someone inside is, you know, doing a tax dodge or something. You know, oh, we lost a bed, you know.
It's such a weird scam, though. Why the fuck? That's such an elaborate scam. I don't know. It just feels weird. The first thing I would do, it would be call up the company and be like, come get your shit. Like, I don't want your extra bed frame. I don't want to put that in my trance room. I want to dance. You know?
Exactly.
Like, come get your shit. Or give it to me. I mean, okay.
No, you wouldn't be able to fit this in your house. Like, it would fit the entirety of my grand floor.
Okay, it doesn't fit in my carry-on? Okay. Maybe if I fold it, like, diagonal in the carry-on, I can get it to nudge between my shoes.
But they are quids in, even though they're loaded, right? There's absolutely no requirement for money on their part. But it's kind of like the gods have shined upon them by getting them this second bed that they never wanted or needed or asked for. And if they hawk it, they get a cute little, you know, kickback and everyone's happy.
Yeah.
I'm kind of thinking it's a little bit gross because the company was so stellar at replacing the old one, doing all the stuff. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I'm like, this isn't my problem. I'm a guest in their house. This isn't my issue. I want to stay out of it. But if you're asking me, I'd be like, yeah, I would at least call them up and give them the courtesy of telling, like, hey, I've got one of your bed frames. I didn't order it. It's here. To me, that feels like the right thing to do. To just off an eBay, it feels really shitty. But I understand why somebody would be like, well, it's my problem now. They should have been more careful with their inventory.
Really?
I know people who would do that. I know people who would do that, for sure. They'd be like, if you've made this my problem, I'm going to fix it, and it's your fault, and I'm not going to clean up your mess for you.
But without calling them. I can get it if you call them, and they go, yeah, well, we're not picking it up. You need to deliver it back to us. And you'd be like, well, fuck you.
Fuck you.
I can understand that bit, right?
Some people are very, like, business is business, and if you can't track your shit, I'm not going to do your job for you. And if you're going to try and make this my problem, I'm going to make money off of it. Tough shit, that's business. I know people like that. It's not what I would do.
If Todd said to you, look, I can tell you're not happy with this, but don't you think it's a bit like being a bit of Robin Hood? Because I'll be, you know, giving someone a $20,000 bed for $10,000.
No.
Right.
Listen, if somebody...
Agree.
Yeah, I'm just like, anybody who can still drop $10,000 on a bed frame, you know, that's not, you know...
No, exactly. Like, there's no requirement. They have a goddamn plunge pool, for God's sake. Right?
Yeah, that's not charity. It's just somebody wealthy is getting a deal. It's like nobody who's, you know, somebody who really needs the help is buying a secondhand bed frame from IKEA. They're getting it from a buy nothing group. Like, that's They're not like, I'm going to drop 10K on a bed frame.
Yes. You know?
Yeah, nobody needs a deal. That's yeah. If anything, the business they're ordering from, probably that's going to really hurt them. And I imagine it's probably a very small carpenter or somebody. It's literally Jesus. You are stealing from Jesus the Christ, who made you a special fancy bed frame. You are going to hell. Good day, sir. No, I mean...
That's it for this episode of Sticky Pickles. If we made you smile, you know what to do. Reach out and review.
And you can get in touch with us on social media. We are at Sticky Pickles on Twitter and at Sticky Pickles Pod on Instagram. Anything else you can find on stickypickles.com.
Cool. See you guys next week.
See you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Don't steal from Jesus the Christ.
Right?
Right. Dalmatian Jesus.
Dalmatian Jesus.
He's got spots.
You're fucking funny.